Reflecting on the qualities and immeasurable kindness of all the three time gurus, Buddhas, then the benefit that the sentient being receive from the Dharma, the quality of being powerful antidote to eradicate all the causes of limitations, and remembering the importance of Sangha, who are the realizers of the path and ground, and even the conventional Sangha, who are the inspiration to inspire us into the path, just like the conventional sanghas are dedicating entire their rest of life in the preservation of individual liberation vows, disciplining their conduct of three doors, and just that brings so much protection to the sentient beings, and so much contributions of virtues and merits, and that is very inspiring. So remembering such reasons can refresh our refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha, Guru Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Then, on the basis of that, generate altruistic motivation oneself to become just like them. Particularly, why altruistic motivation? Because you want to benefit not just few people, not just only human being. You want to benefit entire numberless sentient beings. Then in particularly, infuse the bodhicitta intention, infused by the very the core, the path, that which is tantric path, which giving the reason that firstly, if oneself without practicing the common path, one will not, oneself will not be free, even from a lower realms, even from a self-existent, even not possible to achieve nirvana, peace. And by, on top of that, by practicing the Mahayana Bodhisattvayana path, then not only able to achieve all the common qualities and liberations, but one can achieve the highest level of perfected, most perfected liberation, the state of Buddhahood, which will equip with the qualities of having omniscient mind. So that way, one able to understand clearly all the different mental dispositions of rest of the numberless sentient beings. So that way, then, at least from becoming Buddha, from the Buddha side, definitely much more easier to benefit, reach out from your side, the benefit to all the numberless sentient beings. But then on top of that, if you integrate the practice of Tantra, in particular High Sutra Tantra, practice of Tantra, then the work of benefiting numberless sentient beings will actualize those necessary tools quicker way than the older earlier path. Even the Bodhisattvayana path, without the Tantra, then it understood that it can take a time of about three countless eons of lifetimes in order to accumulate the complete causes of the three countless eons of merit, which in fact referring to the complete three different amount, great amount of merit of method and merit of wisdom. And in order to achieve that, it requires lengthy time. And through the Tantra then, such as practicing Action Tantra, Kriya Tantra, Yoga Tantra, one can prolong one's life, like such as consecrating one's life through long life deities, long life mantras, and long life sadhana practices from this common, what you call the human designated life, which is around 100 or so maximum, you know, and prolong longer than that. And very much in most cases, it required to prolong even someone, common human being, have a lifespan of about 100. And in order to accomplish enlightenment in reliance to the lower tantra, you know, require much more time. May needed to, you know, expand maybe 500 years more, etc., like that. So, but then still can achieve enlightenment within one lifetime. But then, if you practice High Sukhi Tantra, then one's full enlightenment, the perfections of all the liberations that we mentioned before, the most perfected one, achieving the most beneficial tools of benefiting sentient being effectively, the omniscient quality, and all the skillful means within this very ordinary short human lifetime. And if the practice is well concentrated, well equipped with the inner and outer conditions, and if you practice diligently with focus, then enlightenment can be possible even within one session, within that very cushion, not even taking a day long. Okay, so actually, I don't know why I'm saying all this. Yes, taking refuge. So, no, generating motivation, generating bodhicitta motivation. Why the importance of generating correct motivation? Firstly. Secondly, generating altruistic motivation. Thirdly, and even that altruistic motivation to be infused by or motivated by the intention to practice Tantra. So that's the reason. These are the reasons just now I said. You want to achieve, you want to benefit sentient beings perfectly and reaching out to entire numberless sentient beings according with their mental disposition, able to benefit most effectively, very much right after this very cushion, get up from this very cushion, or while sitting on this very cushion, then then you need Haisi country practice. So the refuge.
Sangye jodan so ye jonala janju badu dani jaso je dagi cheje je besona lola benje sangye jobarai jo sangye jodan so ye jonala janju badu dani jaso je dagi cheje je besona lola benje sangye jobarai jo sangye Salutation to Guru Chaitanya Buddha and all the lineage gurus. Kangi dozene zone dawadam jebambe jere dambe jene te zebe bodam de la cha se Tony, Ninja Zondo, Juba, Lama, Zeji, Zeju, Kanji, Tendu, Chana, Bemo, Tenzi, Jazo, so on, Devzo, Dayu, Chingye, Lo.
Good evening. Hope the storm, the rain didn't trouble you too very much. Yeah, so. So tonight, briefly talk about the topic related to the importance of purification. So, firstly, each and every one of us, you know, whatever background history we may have. Even after entering into Buddhist path, you know, whatever level that you have reached, even if you have reached the level up to 10 Bhumi Bodhisattva, who knows, many, or just freshly, you know, starting to accumulate the causes of actualizing the actual path. One thing is common, one thing is sameness to all of us, including of the rest of the numberless sentient beings, is aspire for true happiness. Wish for real happiness, true happiness. That also, we don't long for temporary, not for one day happiness. We want lasting happiness. True, genuine, plus lasting. That's the inner voice for everybody. That's the same to even 10 Bhumi Bodhisattvas. That's the whole reason why they reach up to 10 Bhumi. And that's why they are, even the last moment, why they are in meditative ego poise. Maybe even that can be just one moment before becoming fully enlightened. The inner voice is the same as ours. Language may use different ways. The word may be used in different ways. Conceptually, intellectually, may understand different ways what happiness means. But whatever difference there may be, but one thing is the same, is wanting for true, pure, and lasting happiness. Everybody agree?
Yeah.
Isn't it? For sure. And do not wish to experience any form of limitations, even to the 10 Bhumi Bodhisattva, even to non-believers, even to animals, spirits, even the human that who always go and harm others, even the human that who always harm themselves, But one thing that they really want, the inner voice, that which they may not even hear by their ear senses, they may not even able to express through their speech, but what really that being want is to not wish to experience even the slightest form of limitations. And that can be suffering, that can be karma, that can be delusion, that can be obscuration, that can be suffering of change, suffering of pain, or suffering of pervasive compounded suffering, such as the Tenbumi Bodhisattva, even the last moment in the meditative equipoise, have not achieved the complete cessation from the limitations of obscuration. That last moment in the meditative equipoise, Tenbumi Bodhisattva, in his system, there's no obscurations or omniscience. In his aggregates, that's not even in his mind, but still not yet purified completely from the root, because have not achieved the cessation. Now, similarly to us, even though this very moment physically feel comfortable, no physical aching, pain, emotionally comfortable, you know, emotional, very, very settled, very peaceful, in such a beautiful bomba, just looking at the chandelier, soothe the mind. Don't even need to look at altar, just look at one of the chandelier. So mind very peace, very peace. Then environmentally, the storm is already over. storm is just to clear, you know, our path through here. That's it. The storm is over. That was okay. So we can regard now peaceful, isn't it? At this very moment, very peaceful. And you are in Australia, very peaceful. Isn't it? Very peaceful. Right now. And even from the elemental point of view, at this very moment, no flood, no hurricane, no earthquake, no fire going on. Even though just now, I think I hear Nifty says, you know, if anything, you there's two doors to escape. right now, no need to escape. We are completely safe. And we do even label, you know, many different this kind of time, or this kind of physical position, mental position. You know, I'm happy, very peaceful. I'm enjoying my time. You know, if someone say, are you sad or happy? He says, I'm very happy. You will reply, I'm very happy. So yes, peaceful, happy, but we have not achieved the cessation, like the Tenbumi Bodhisattva. For him or her, have not actualized this. Problem is not still over, because cessation is not achieved, even though the obscurational obstacle is not within his aggregates at all. And right this very moment, you know, the suffering or pain is not within our aggregates. But suffering of pervasive compounded, you know, the potential of suffering or pain is there. Potential of suffering of suffering or pain is still exists. contamination is still there, or samsara is still there. So therefore, how enjoyable, how peaceful, how healthy, how youthful one may be, we cannot stop, you know, pursuing the absolute liberation, you know, at least absolute liberation, firstly, out of the control of others' power, like karma and delusion. We are still in the control of others' power. We literally have no freedom, even though we feel freedom. We feel freedom from all aspects, including, you know, the natural disasters, natural obstacles. But we are not free from karma and delusion. If we fall into laziness or pursuing perfect liberation, just a matter of time, you know, the impact or the ripening of those karma, those causes will be in our body and mind, and our body and mind will experience the suffering or pain like that. You see, so in short, like this. So my point is the same. You know, as long as not enlightened fully, even those who have achieved self-liberation of the state of Pateka Buddha and Savaka Buddha, you know, Hira and Sotri Realizer, even them, cannot completely settle as if they have achieved complete freedom. No. That's why in relation to the Bodhisattva path, Mayavi path, Nirvana peace, self-liberation is to be purified, negated, because it still carries limitations until you achieve the state of full enlightenment. Even though Nirvana peace, self-liberation is to be achieved, it is something for us to achieve. It is the quality, but in relation to the complete perfected liberation path, which is Bodhisattva path, then that also, you know, put as a limitation, you know, count as a limitation, you see. So therefore, whatever perfection that we believe we have in our human life, ordinary human life, in this desire realm, and the product of past karma and delusion, then there's nothing to be, you know, feel perfected in our pursuit of the inner wanting, that perfected, pure, lasting happiness. You know, we have to work harder. You know, therefore, all this need to be purified. And the most powerful, even though there are so many different forms of antidotes, entire 84 teachings of the Buddhas are antidotes. All the virtues also act as antidote in some way. And Dharma wise, no question, all act as an antidote. But there is no greater power, greater antidote than Vajrasattva practice. Mm-hmm. The Vajrasattva practice is the most effective most powerful, and it can act as an antidote to the entire limitations from this karma and delusion all the way up to the stain of the delusions, and including the obscurations of omniscience. You can label in many different names, but the actual essence of the practice to purify, to negate all these limitations. In fact, the Vajrasattva is the one that which is being effect. Vajrasattva is the one that is being the direct antidote, you know. So therefore, if we want to achieve the even achieving the freedom from the limitation, the greatest one in the simplest way, the Vajrasattva practice is the one that we need to have. He was talking about tantric practice earlier in the Bodhicitta motivation. And I was saying with just common path, you know, what kind of liberation we achieve. Then Bodhisattva path, what kind of liberation we achieve. Then why importance, why there's importance of high Sukha Tantra, not even just, you know, lower Tantra, even especially high Sukha Tantra. It is for us to able to purify the most subtle limitations or the purifications, and to achieve the cessation in the simplest way, in the quickest way. So then that is the Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva, there's no deity which has no element of Vajrasattva. Even in our common knowledge, whatever form of practice whatever sadhana practice you have in relation to the four schools of the deities practice, each and every one of them, there's an element of Vajrasattva. In relation to the sutra practice, also there's a practice of Vajrasattva. As long as there's a practice of four opponent power, there's a practice of Vajrasattva. You know, the main opponent power to any level of limitation, the practice even to the sutra level, you know, is the four opponent power. And the four opponent power, you know, very much is expressions of Vajrasattva. You don't use that name, you don't interpret using the language of the tantra, because it's sutra practice. So therefore, it's, you know, it's just mentioned as four opponent power. But ultimately, it's referring to Vajrasattva. And Vajrasattva is one of the deities that belong to all the Buddha families. In fact, Vajrasattva, Dorje Semba, you know, Vajra is referring to indestructible, you know, usually symbolized by the Dorje and bell, the Dorje, the Vajra and bell, you know, which you hold at the right. that is the symbolism of the indestructible phenomena, or indestructible mind, which is referring to the, in Buddha's level, is a Dharmakaya mind. In sentient beings' level, is clear light mind. It's the same thing, but there's a reason using this different term. So Buddha's wisdom mind, or the Dharmakaya mind, is the Dorje Vajra. Sattva, Semba, Sat, here referring to the chit, or sat referring to mind. The omniscient bodhicitta of the all the Buddhas, sat, the omniscient bodhicitta of all the Buddhas, is referring to the sat. Sattva, the second word, very much talking about the person or the being, the who carry these two type of mind or two qualities, two Buddha qualities, the wisdom aspect of Buddha's body and the mental aspect of the Buddha's body. Pa, someone who holding these two mind. In another word, pa also referring to hero, someone who uphold these two, such two artistic omniscient wisdom and attitude. There's no greater hero, there's no greater power than that. So someone who carry that quality is a hero, indestructible hero. That is the Buddhas, all the Buddhas of the 10 directions are the heroes. Heroes in the sense that their quality of the wisdom body and the method aspect of the omniscient body will not degenerate. Therefore, hero, indestructible. The power that carries the supreme among supreme of all the powers, the omniscient heart, you know, the omniscient mind of the bodhicitta, and the wisdom of Dharmakaya is the most powerful phenomena that can exist, most powerful power among supreme power among all the powers. So someone holding, upholding that, that called hero, that called ba, you know, Dorje Sen ba. So in another word, when you practice Vajrasattva, you practice all the Buddhas. When you practice Vajrasattva, they hear many people practice Tara, you practice Tara. Here many people practice medicine Buddha. You know, many practice Vajrayogini, many practice Yamantaka, maybe Guhya Samaja, Heruka, Cheresik, whatever deity you're practicing. When you practice Vajrasattva, you practice all of them. Whether you know them or not, whether you have their initiation or not, whether you even if you don't know, but when you practice Vajrasattva, you practice all of them. because you practice the heart, you practice the enlightened heart of all the Buddhas. Because all the Buddha's enlightened heart is who? Dorje Senpa. Vajrasattva. All the enlightened heart is Dorje Senpa. Vajrasattva. So if somebody happened to ask, you know, what is the heart of Buddha? He said, Dorje Senpa. He said, what is the heart, you know, how the heart look like, how Tara's heart may look like? It looked like Dorje Senpa. Mm-hmm. Correct answer. So one of due to this reason, why is one of the most powerful practice? Why it is one of the simplest path when you practice Vajrasattva? When you practice Vajrasattva, your compassion develop faster, as mentioned before, because it carries the mind of Chenrezig. When you practice Vajrasattva, your activities become So it's simply success. Even in the mundane, no question about Dharma practices. Because Dzogchen Tsempa is the heart of Tara. Your wisdom increases swiftly because Dzogchen Tsempa is heart of Manjushri. Your love increases because Dzogchen Tsempa is heart of Maitreya, Buddha of love. So Dzogchen Tsempa carries all the profound practice of illusory clear light. So all the main body practice of all the high sutra tantra, like such as like you know, clear light, illusory practice, etc., rainbow body, etc. All this practice contain, all this practice carry the practice of Vajrasattva. So you realize, you know, if there's no highlight of Vajrasattva practice, even if you are practicing the most secret and most highest level of practice of Tantra, if there's no element, there's no highlight in practice of Vajrasattva, incomplete. Why? Why need to do that? No. There's no sadhana, as I mentioned before. Like such as Guhya Samadhi, if there's no, there's the highlight or practice or conclude of the practice by Vajrasattva. Look at Heruka, look at Yamantaka, you know. As if when we practice this most supreme, highest level of practice, like including Kalachakra, etc., that they should, they not necessarily need to be Vajrasattva practice highlighted there. All of this sadhana has highlighted practice of Vajrasattva. That very much shows that Vajrasattva is the practice of that particular individual deities, you know. Or that individual deity's practice become complete with the practice of Vajrasattva. And why is highlighted? Because if that bring the more effective, you know, the clearing of the accomplishment of the siddhis and the path in relation to that deities. Even when we perform different pujas, there's no puja that which has no element of Vajrasattva. And there's no meditation, in fact, you know, there's no element of purification practice, isn't it? Is there any meditation that you conduct, there's no element of purification? I mean, if there's nothing to purify, then there's no point of meditating it, isn't it? No need to meditate, isn't it? If nothing to purify, then that means your meditation is accomplished. So since there's a needed to be purified, and there's an element, whatever way there's an element of purification is a Vajrasattva. So that. So now, in relation to strengthening the samayas, precepts, promises, ethics, including the training and practice in relation to like six paramita, in relation to the Mayana practice, like strengthening, increasing, bring more and more perfection in the practice of generosity, morality, you know, joyous effort in the practice, become more patient, more subdued person, more acceptance, you know, and getting more control over your mind, your emotion, your situations, you know, the concentration, the level of concentration, then increasing level of, you know, being more detached, more contented, more happy, you know, very much Vajrasattva practice brings all these benefits. Then all the obstacle that obstruct to achieve goodness in our mundane life, in our spiritual life, you know, like success in businesses, success in relationship, success in cultivations of, you know, friends and families. The limitations are all due to the all the unpleasant experiences in life, all the sufferings, all the obstacles, you know, even to mundane, all those obstacles, whatever thing that you do not wish to encounter that comes in your way, whatever thing that you do not wish to experience and it comes to experience, all are the result of negative karma. All a result of karma. Especially suffering experiences are a result of negative karma. Now, when you practice Vajrasattva, all those negative karmas are purified so that you don't have to experience the consequences. You know, when we talk about karma, the result has to be product of right cause. Means suffering is a result of negative karma, negative action. Suffering is not a result of positive karma, virtuous karma. So if there's suffering, if there's unpleasantness going on, obstacles coming in your way, that itself is a proof, 100% proof, that I have negative karma. I have committed negative karma in the past. I have the seed of negative karma, that which is in my system, and that bring about expressions of this problem, this obstacle, this sufferings. So now overcome that negative seed. There's no greater antidote than Vajrasattva practice. You see, you know, at the beginning of this session, I was talking about all those peacefulness, you know, youthful, good health, whatever we are experiencing in this human body, in reality, it still falls into suffering. It is called the suffering of change. It's just a matter of time. Our youthfulness will go away. Our healthy body also go away. Our healthy mind also will go away. Our healthy environment also will go away. In fact, entire destructions of this aggregates will come. Everybody, once we are born by the force of karma, we have to die one day. So therefore, everything going to change to a distraction, just a matter of time. But what we are experiencing in this pleasant moment is actually product of virtuous karma, not a negative karma, virtuous karma. That's why we feel happy, our body is healthy, environment is very peaceful. The reason is that virtuous karma carry limitations of not being dharma. Because of that, didn't manage to become an antidote to karma. Whether it's virtue karma, non-virtue karma, neutral karma, doesn't matter. Didn't manage to become an antidote. That's why we have to experience this roller coaster like life. Sometimes it's so wonderful, and sometimes it's like terrifying. You know, so whatever it is, the contamination of karma or influence of karma or anything to do with karma, whether it's virtual karma, non-virtual karma, neutral karma, all need to be purified. We need to create only dharma. And dharma virtue was a dharma virtue, or dharma virtuous action. in Tibetan we call sammegile, uncontaminated actions. Action is always there, but the action has to be uncontaminated actions. Otherwise, even its virtue also not helpful. Very temporal kind of benefits only. That therefore it still falls in the suffering of change. Still samsara, you see. So the greatest antidote to overcome entire contaminated karma, there's no greater antidote than vajrasattva. So therefore, to purify, even in the, what do you call the intellectually understanding what Vajrasattva does to us while we are going through emotional or environmental or physical troubles, it brings the benefit of purification, even intellectually thinking about. An example, when my body goes through suffering, if I remember that this is a result of my past karma, and I don't need to depress completely, because if I apply the antidote, such as four opening power or the basis of a practice, then from the root of this suffering, it will be purified. And the experience itself, since it's a result of definite karma, I experience it in most meaningful way. Most meaningful way. I'm so fortunate that I can experience in this way, in human life, because comparing to the suffering that you experience in the hell realm, it's bearable. Even it can be so painful, but it's still bearable. Still, there are a lot of help, a lot of comfort, like comfort of medicine, you know, comfort of a good doctor, good family, good caretakers. How amazing that I can purify this negative karma in such a conducive environment. This is, you know, like this is so wonderful. You know, your spirit uplift in the midst of so painful thing going on. And this is the wisdom of Vajrasattva. Because when you understand Vajrasattva, you will understand karma, how karma works. Then you will have this idea about purifications, how purification works. You will understand the entire situations of six realms. When you understand Vajrasattva, you understand the entire situation of six realms. You will understand how karma increases, how karma, small karma increases. If you don't quickly purify, that small karma becomes so huge. The result is to experience unbearable suffering in the hell realm, hungry ghost realm, animal realm. How fortunate I don't have to experience that. Because since it's ripening karma, it's already ripening in my human body. Somehow so fortunate it is happening while I met the Dharma, while I understand the teaching. So I can even purify even more effectively. On top of that, I rather use this opportunity to accumulate even merit, or even offering help to other sentient beings to purify their limitation, their suffering, like such as integrating Tonglen practices as an antidote. This is a wisdom and practice of Vajrasattva. This is also practice of Vajrasattva. Nothing other than that. This is a practice of Buddha's teaching, Buddha's wisdom. Dorje Semba. So even intellectually, you know, we may not reach to that very level of meditative kind of like a yogic level, but even intellectually understanding all this and just remember this intellectual knowledge and try to use it, it already brings healing. It already bringing purification so effectively. So you this is just an example. Now you relate this. Even for, you know, very beginner level, introduction to Dharma. But the first thing is we discuss about karma. We are already discussing about mind, and karma means we are discussing about Vajrasattva without using the term. You know, so that means you already have an introduction to Vajrasattva. So you see, so now you use this Dharma knowledge, you know, about karma, about compassion, etc., in relation to all the challenges that comes in our way. You know, in whatever phase that challenges comes in our way, just use this knowledge. Even that was that intellectual, you know, understanding already so beneficial. If you've been meditating on it, if you've already been trained your mind on that exercise, can you imagine how effective you're going to be? You know, it's like some thorn, you know, like this, and it quickly able to, you know, like take it out. I mean, after that, it's still painful, isn't it? Painful, but you can at least have a relief, you know, that I've already taken out. Or the poison that you already vomited out, it still feels weak, but it's still wonderful. You know, so like that. So you see, so, you know, in the Vinaya Sutra, it mentioned there's no negative karma that cannot be purified, the applications of four potent power. The whole four potent power is the expression of Vajrasattva, and specifically the third, the antidote, the power antidote, and the first one, the power of refuge. Is Guru Vajrasattva is a power of refuge. And able to recognize negative as a negative, negative as a harmful, negative actions as a harmful, delusions are harmful. You know, just simply understanding that the second opponent power is a wisdom of Dharma, is a wisdom of Vajrasattva. You know, to understand negative as a negative. So second power is also Vajrasattva. And the third power, just simply remembering Vajrasattva act as an antidote. Third opponent power. Reciting the mantra act as an antidote. Doing the sadhana act as an antidote. You know. So every single pose of the Vajrasattva, every single every single characteristic of Vajrasattva, or every single wholeness. I don't know whether this is right English or single wholeness. Okay, everything about Vajrasattva act as a direct antidote, you know, direct antidote to the negativities. Then the mindfulness of, you know, never to commit the karma again. The mindfulness, that's the Vajrasattva. You see. Now, even just reciting, Vajrasattva's name once, even though, you know, some sutra mentioned about by reciting, you know, 21 times of the 100 syllable mantra, then it will stop multiplying any form of karma that we committed before. You know, at this very moment, accidentally, you happen to realize that you have committed some wrong actions through body, speech, and mind, and without delaying, you know, immediately reciting Vajrasattva mantra 21 times, the potential is not purified from the root. But first thing is that you made the karma, this particular karma, never to be a ripening karma, or never to be a ripening karma or definite karma. Means this particular negativities that which already bringing the effect of Vajrasattva, even just reciting the long mantra 21 times will never, forever, will never, even whatever condition it meets, it will not bring into fruition. So later, when you have conducive time, then application of four opponent power, or using certain direct opponent, direct antidote, like such as for the anger is compassion, is a direct antidote, or such as like emptiness is like can be direct antidote to anger or ignorance, etc. Or attachment to the detachment, miserliness as a generosity. Like these are direct antidote. If you dedicate the practice in relation to purifying that particular pointed negativities, it can purify from the root. Or by applying four opening power, all the four factors, then purify completely from the root. But otherwise, just even having the one element of the opening, you see, the karma will never become a definite karma in future times. Then the karma, every karma, virtue or non-virtue, carries the power of increasing without pause, increasing it is power from small to great. And the result of that is small to great result of consequences and the sufferings. So by reciting 21 times, it will purify the power increasing of any karma, any negative karma. So then I think the short mantra, which is so easy to recite, is 28 times, if you recite 28 times. But even just reciting one time will bring that benefit. A certain text mention about 28 of the short one, 21 of the 100 syllable long mantra. So of course, if you can, if you have a time, then why not? But in order to bring effectiveness of never to accumulate any karma, at least not to become a definite karma to bring result, then, ombeza satoho, just immediately ombeza satoho. The moment you realize you say something wrong, you thought something wrong negatively, or you act wrongly, then beza satoho. If you want to make it quick, even just say beza satoho. And not so quick, then om beza satoho. Sometimes we suddenly tongue split up, wake up, sleep out. Wrong thing there. Om beza satoho. Yes, then sometimes physically it's om beza satoho. Oh no, om beza satoho. So like that. So now, if you take the initiation, even you take the lower tantra initiation, in if you have never taken any high sutra tantra before, then during the initiation with the initiation master, during the session, there's a section that you can become a deity. Otherwise, cannot. In order to become a deity, you need to have a pre-taken high sutra tantra initiation, or the particular deity itself need to be high sutra tantra deity, the deity from the high sutra tantra lineage, or the practice, the sadhana came from the lineage of high sutra tantra. You see. So now, if you have the authority, or if you are empowered to become Vajrasattva all the time, now you can compare whatever I talked before. What going to be the most powerful? Adorn full time of all your three doors, completely Being in Vajrasattva, obviously that would be the greatest opponent power, the greatest antidote. Almost there's no room from now on to commit any negative karma, even from this ordinary body. You see, if you are empowered to always carry Vajrasattva's holy body, Vajrasattva's holy speech, Vajrasattva's holy mind, you know, you literally become, you literally able to become and stay as a Vajrasattva all the time. Almost from this very moment onward, our life is set right. Like Vajrasattva's holy body, speech, and mind, everything acts as a purification. Even on the unpurified object, when Vajrasattva lands, it purifies. That we talk about the Shambhala, you know, Shambhala war, you know. If someone happened to die during Shambhala war, you will be reborn in the Shambhala Pure Land, because it will bring purification. But the action is not right, isn't it? It's war. But anyway, not war as what today's war, but still it's a bit wrathful occurrence. So I'm just giving example. Of course, in this human body, with this human mind, in relative world, how to stay away not committing negative karma? Almost the moment we, you know, we open our mouth, create negative karma. You know, maybe not necessarily through speech, but the moment open our mouth, create negative karma. How many, you know, because we drink, we eat, how many beings swallow? You know, how many beings life cost just because we open mouth and sip of water and, you know, take food, isn't it? So anyway, and you can imagine walking, where God, that we will not cost life of any living being. You know, every moment causes life of so many beings. The insect, the bacteria, you know, that bacteria, the germs, worms, everywhere, you know. We so enjoyably do gardening. Can you imagine how many worms, bacteria, you know, can cost their life? When we walk, you know, for the bacteria, our feet are like elephant, bigger than elephant feet. Giant feet. You know, I think in some movie you see, like, you know, some tiny, you know, some very big foot. Millions step on, cost their life. The moment we move our hand. Basically, there's no space, there's no atom or area that we don't come in negativities. Honestly, think carefully. The moment we run, we take shower, how many bacteria, you know, cost their life? We all the time boil water. Can you imagine why we boil water first place? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk about it, but actually is we want to kill whatever is out there called the bacteria in the water, isn't it? Very tough. In that sense, we are very much like, you know, yeah, like field of needles poking up, then, you know, putting our buttock without cover. Whichever side we move is painful. Sit still also painful. Sit also painful. But here is like creating causes of pain. It's equal as a pain. You see? So anyway, I don't know whether this example is good or not. But so anyway, it is, I think one thing is most crucial is for us to, you know, always have this, you know, protection that, yeah, that purifies, you know, everything we engage, mentally, physically, verbally. Of course, all the, you know, the becoming deity from the tantric practices serve that purpose. But when you practice Vajrasattva, because of Vajrasattva being the essence of all the numberless Buddha's purification, it acts as a direct antidote to all the limitations, all the things needed to purify it. Vajrasattva acts as a direct antidote because of the essence of all the Buddha's purification. You know, like if we want to strengthen our wisdom, we choose Manjushri because Manjushri is Buddha's, all the three time Buddha's wisdom. We want to increase our compassion, we choose Charasik, even though all the Buddha's compassion is equal. But Charasik is as a direct antidote, direct force. So now talk about purification. To our contaminated wall, in contaminated wall, to the contaminated aggregates, the five aggregates are all contaminated by karma and delusion. And everything we relate to, relation between two contaminations, it get worse, get more polluted, you see. So therefore, if we always stay becoming become Vajrasattva, or always as a Vajrasattva, then it bring effective purification in all our existence. You know, so there's an extraordinary power in that, you know, so like this. So therefore, now that's where the initiation comes important. Why initiations are regarded so precious, so important. You know, there are many, many other reasons. In relation to Vajrasattva, one of the reasons is about all about purification. One of the main reasons is we need to purify our past, we need to purify our present, we need to purify our future, and we need to purify the basis and the relation in relation to all these three types. You know, and that is the Vajrasattva. So for tomorrow, the initiation, usually the Vajrasattva initiations mostly conducted in relation to Lower Tantra. There's one Vajrasattva practice lineage of the initiation, Ensei Nyingyu. There's many Mata Tantra lineage are also coming from there. And that lineage uphold in only Gelug tradition, Lama Tsongkhapa's tradition. And that is in accordance with High Sufi Tantra. So, I thought of last year when we decided to offer the initiation, I initially thought to offer the solitary versions of initiation, you know, from Kriya Action Tantra. I think I even mentioned to Miffy that we prepare in relation to solitary Vajrasattva. I think I may have said something like that. Then after that, with quite a number of reasoning, and they, of course, you know, someone who, I think most of the participants who's taking initiation, they may have already completed they may be already committed to do all the major mandos, preliminary practices, and may have completed the refuge mando, which we have commented last year. And some of you have definitely, you know, I haven't read all the letters that you have sent yesterday, but when I read some of the letters sent through email, some accomplish so much, few hundred thousands. And usually when you perform the refuge wandro full time, yeah, within 2 weeks you can finish about 100,000. Not even take about 2 weeks, maybe about 2 or 12 days, quite easily. You know, if you are already been reciting refuge prayer for a long time before, and the sadhana also very short, unless you insert other things, So, but we have encouraged to live in the retreat environment, retreat environment in your motivation for 1 year period. Because I have a reason for that. You know, that really will set the foundation, even this first opponent power, when we talk about four opponent power, then Vajrasattva falls as the antidote, in the loose language, if you want to talk about it, not only that, firstly, we put into a position that definitely immediate rebirth, no Lord Allah. That is the benefit of refuge, minimum benefit after you practice refuge. Take, even just by taking refuge, not even accumulating refuge. You know, the blessing of the transmitting the vow is so powerful that the immediate rebirth is definitely will not born into your lower realms, even one may be committing negative karma all the time. That much benefit. You know? But then someone who practices diligently, can imagine, all the other great benefits comes in your way. So, so therefore, I think just to commit to do all these wandro practices, I would say you are a very serious practitioner. Usually, in the traditions of Himalaya, Tibet, in a monastery environment, when we become very serious into Dhamma practice, that's the way we start with the wandro retreats. So if you fall in a very serious practitioner of the Buddha Dharma. And now someone that, committed to take initiation, not any initiation, this particular initiation in the part of the Mondo, you come to a point that you take the initiation, you understood the reason why you're taking it. And also, you know the commitment. And you're taking it. And also, from whom you are taking it, you have indirect quite many number of years. Maybe some of you, who've been learning from your other teachers. But there are quite a number of students we've been interacting in the common preliminary practices in teachings like a Lamrim for many years. Some individuals, I don't know whether in here or not, but some individuals, maybe over 20 years, more than 20 years of Dharma interaction. Is very much like there's a mutual confidence in each other, because when you enter into Tantra, taking initiation, basic requirement is the confidence to each other, the initiation master and the practitioner, the student, the receiver. Basic confidence, basic trust, moral trust, then on top of that, of course, the validity of the lineage, the purity of the lineage, etc. So these are like, cannot be done based on someone's recommendation, you know. That's why for me, I was asked to offer initiation many years back. Always say no, not yet. Firstly, you know, there are so many great living gurus are available offering initiations. Then for some years, I hear especially people, they want to practice medicine Buddha, but they want to have initiation, no initiation. Want to practice Tara, no initiation. Want to practice Vajrasattva especially. Many have no initiation, but there are so many people who want to engage into serious practice of purification, no initiation, but I still say, still redirect here, direct there. Wait, it's more about like gaining confidence to each other. Also let the listener directly or indirectly, but not by others' recommendation, but from your side, you know, that you need to have that that confident, you know. So those are very, very important, you see. So there are so many initiations happens that is very much for like drawing more people. Things that, you know, initiation, always hear initiation is so powerful. And we thought that just attending initiation, everything will be fixed. Never mostly don't think about the commitment. Don't have proper preparations, don't even know the teacher, you know. And through advertisement, you know, there's so many, it's happening around the world, everywhere. And then at the latter end, so much of confusion, you know. I always encounter people, especially quite long-time practitioners, whose confusion is nothing other than confused about after receiving initiation. confused of how to practice, what to practice, you know, what my Lama is thinking about me, what my Lama asked me, I don't know what to do, what not to do, and I didn't do, now I'm freaked out. You know, I cannot sleep, I'm nightmare, you know, I cannot contact the Lama, how, you know, but it's none of my business, you know. So it's not my business. So just joking. But yeah, sometimes say like that. I say, you know, how can I give answer about someone's initiation practice or samaya between you and your guru and the sadhana samayas or whatever, because that guru may have a different lineage, different way of conferring the initiation. Everyone is different, you know. So therefore, I say I'm not in the position, you know. But then they say, then now I'm even more freaked out because I try to contact whole world, but I cannot contact my guru. And there's no one is like kind of guiding me to at least like lead the practice, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's tricky. I mean, a bit unfortunate, you know, how, because think about Tantra, think about initiation, so powerful. How fortunate if you know how to handle that practice, and you need to live, you know, without knowing what to do. And worse than that, you know, get even more confused is a bit sad, you know. So so like here, and I also realized some other centers, even in Perth, in Higher Giver Center, about that there are, you know, number of people who are partaking the refuge model. I think it must be through online when we did here last year in Nagatamba Center. And the Venerable Shirky, you know, put effort to bring anyone who interested, who's practicing, to guide occasionally to practice. And here MIFI have done, you know, all throughout the time, which is so amazing. And then after this initiation, then now, you know, one whole year, specific focus on Vaishyasattva practice, you know, group practice. So if everybody can come in person, wonderful. If not, you know, can join through online until you feel confident that I can do myself. You know, and occasionally as a Sangha, good to come together. Good to, even online also, it would be so encouraging. And sometimes have a like question and answer, you know, to clarify each other's doubt, etc., etc. So it's a very favorable place, you know, and so wonderful. So this is very favorable, you see. So now, yeah, so refuge, you can carry on. Of course, as a Buddhist, refuge is every day we need to practice, you know, every day, forever, until we achieve enlightenment, you know, we practice that, yeah. So even the refuge vow, we take one lifetime. You know, not like Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva is like until age of enlightenment. Refuge vow is within one lifetime. So, so it's something that I have to keep until to our last breath. Then you can continue to if you do minimum at least one or three times whatever that you choose the minimum. You carry on, you're always living in the retreat, and you can accumulate not just 100,000, you can accumulate, you know, 200,000, you know, eventually even 1 million. You know, most of the great masters like Lama Tsongkhapa and great yogis is all million, more than million. You know, all the modal practices are above millions, you know, 3-4 millions, like that, you know. So it is something that we can carry on. So, and some of you have not completed 100,000, not to worry. You know, even though said until to the next motto, you try to complete it. You know, if you complete, rejoice. If not, carry on, you know. And also occasionally, even refresh the refuge, what you've been doing, you can do. So these are lifetime practice anyway, you know. So for the Vaishyasattva, the coming initiation, so will be in according with High Sukhi Tantra. So for newcomers, first time receiving initiation, one benefit, my reason is one benefit. So next time that even you're receiving initiations of lower Tantra, you carry that iman, you carry that benefit of able to become a deity. Let's say if you receive High Sukhi Tantra deity before, and today you're receiving the blessing initiations of lower Tantra, and you can actually, you know, become a deity of that from the lower tantric school deity. Let's say when you practice medicine Buddha, now, you know, like the Satana, you can become medicine Buddha because you have one of the Asuka Tantric deity before. But on top of that, if you have the Asuka Tantric, the initiation of the deity, even that particular deity from High Sukhi Tantra, they will be even better. Because I realize there are many cases that individuals that didn't yet ready to receive, you know, some High Sukhi Tantra deity, which has a great sadhana commitment. But at the same time, they have initiation from lower Tantra and they want to practice the complete, you know, sadhana, and they couldn't practice because of they don't have the High Sukhi Tantra deity initiation. So this Vaishyasattva initiation, because of the High Sukhi Tantra, now this will serve the benefit for everybody, especially those who are new to Tantra. And eventually you will realize that, you know, there will be a lot of sometimes, let's say if one day you're ready to practice Vajrayogini, and the first question you ask, have you had any High Sukhi Tantric deity initiation before? And you can say, yes, I have. You know, so like that. So that's then for mantra wise, for everyone's benefit, for your own benefit, you know, according with the sutra, minimum do 28 times the long mantra. It won't take much time. First, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the mantra. If in case not, you can memorize them. You'll be so good, you know. Short one 28 times. But here, the 100,000 minimum commitment is long mantra, 100 syllable mantra. 100,000, then 10,000 as a, what do you call it? Insurance. So from this lineage, general commitment is 100,000 within one lifetime. Or you do, you know, the 3 months Vajrasattva retreat. 3 months Vajrasattva retreat. So I receive this initiation many rounds from actually my late guru Kishilama Poncho. Kishila would give this particular as a new lineage of Vajrasattva. Kishila used to give this initiation many, many times. So yeah. So why the 3 months is very much in our tradition, especially in FPMD. You know, there's a 3 month Vajrasattva retreat opportunities offered by different centers, monasteries, you know, and it is so wonderful. It is life changing for many people to taking part of it. You see, if that time is not ripened, then within one life you accumulate 100,000. But here I would like to suggest. Within 1 year, you try your best to accomplish 100,000 until the next mantra. The next mantra is mandala offering. There will be a lot of noise, a lot of exercise. So next year is mandala offering. If you see 1 day you accumulate. You know how within 1 hour how much you can accumulate, then you divide 365 days, and this is open retreat. Again, I have a reason for that. For myself, there are quite a number of recent retreat. Not the before when Geshe-la Mojo was alive, I've done all the mantras and all most of the Kaisuke Tantri. And the initiations, the retreats after receiving initiation, always asked to conduct very strict one. Then some years back, you know, I need to attend the Lama Conscious Reincarnation. I need to be with him. So, but then at the same time, I want to, you know, use that period as a retreat. Then right after that, I was asked to tour, teach around. So I have a consultation with my guru, Kyabchen Lama Sobhan Mishe. So he said, you can do open retreats, asked to continue to travel and, you know, teaching. Then whenever there's a free time, you get it, then you can do, you know, strict time. Otherwise you can conduct free open retreat. And I felt so wonderful, so beneficial because I'm unable to do strict retreat, I miss out so many times, so many years, unable to do. Because I'm able to do open retreat, I managed to do session every day, all throughout the year. And that won't limit any of our other responsibilities. Like, you know, yourself, you have even more responsibility than me, your family, job, etc. So nothing has changed. Continue to do what you would like to do. So at least maybe end of the day for Vajrasattva, you know, end of the day, you just have a short reflection about the day. Anything didn't went right, purify Vajrasattva. Anything went well, rejoice in Vajrasattva, and go with confidence in sleep in remembering Vajrasattva. So you know, just 21 times, very easy, or you know, the long one, you see. Then whenever you get free time, maybe one weekend, you know, then you go for holiday. That's your retreat. Say 1 week, 1 weekend, or 1 day, or 1 morning. You know, I want to have a retreat from job, family, socializing. Then full time. Maybe you can conduct many short sessions. 10 minutes short sessions, many long sessions, 2 hours, many sessions, whatever you like to do. There's no something that must do 4 sessions or 10 sessions. It's good to do many sessions, shorter one, and always good to end when you are very happy. Don't force, and never force. So enjoy your retreat, enjoy your practice like that. So, and relating to the busy life, many responsibilities. I would say minimum one, long one. That anybody can do, even if we are unwell, how busy we may be, one is okay. I think anybody can do. So therefore, anybody can take in part of this commitment, minimum. But for our own benefit, minimum do 21 times, and do more whenever you can. Okay, so one, you see, that's easy, isn't it? Okay, so if you ask, most people ask, what is the commitment? So for me, I would like to mention the commitment before the initiation. So you can choose to give up tomorrow, or some new people you want to join in. Now you know that something you can do, welcome, like that. Okay, so. So then all these different models, not completely let go of the refuge. Now Vajrasattva act, then later Mandala act, Guru Yoga act, like that. You see, so like this. Okay, so I think I took some more of your time. So that's it. So tomorrow, tomorrow morning session. First of all, myself, I did this 100,000 and on top of that 10,000 long time ago. So I was actually asked me to do. I was asked to do. I didn't manage to do the sequence like refuge, mandala, or this. Actually, mandala I happened to do much later. I had to do guru yoga. Refuge I did very beginning. Guru Yoga, I had to do, I think, somewhere in the second, because I needed to do a high Sukhita retreat. And Geshe-la asked me to do first Guru Yoga retreat to clear obstacles like that. But Vajrasattva, so I've done the retreat, a complete retreat before, long time ago. So since it's a long time, during my Sera time, then recently when I come back from Ladakh, with Miffy, we did a pilgrimage tour. So immediately I went into a strict retreat until I start the tour in Western Australia. So I didn't manage to, finish the 100,000, but managed to, I was focusing more on the visualizations and the practice and also accomplishment. So it's also very fresh. So I've done my commitments, what I need to do. So tomorrow is another preparation which has to be fresh. If it didn't manage to complete the initiation tomorrow, if I need to go for the second day, then second day also need to do refreshment again. So everything has to be freshly offered. So therefore morning, I hope that the preparatory session may be finished by at least the morning session or at least by maybe if quicker than about 1 hour, 1.5 hour, something like that. So that time everybody come, join, and all of you individually accumulate refuge practice. Whatever refuge mantra you've been doing, you continue to do that. Or any other mantra practices. You can already start to recite Vajrasattva mantra, you see. So very much I think can do quietly, because during the preparation, there are a few areas need to ring bells, and the noise may, if someone leading practice, may interrupt you, I will disturb you. So maybe individually do meditation and just be in the mandala already. in the Dharma mandala like that. So tomorrow, very much then, hopefully by afternoon, we finish the initiation. Then the following day, we discuss more about practice, especially in relation to four feminine power. Then there are purification practice after you receive the initiation. There are, you know, there are some extra that you can practice, you know, like that. So hope that's okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So I forget one thing. Those of you online, and there are quite a number of people already, you know, follow the Mundo when we started in Langitamba Center last year. Some of you very much wanted to come for the initiation, and I request them not to come. I met some of you I met in India. And also did offer oral transmission of the mantra. So didn't manage to offer initiation, but offer oral transmission of mantra. And then says you can carry on accumulating the retreat. Then in future time, so even though you cannot do, if you don't have the initiation, you cannot do the front generation and self generation and according to the sadhana, but still you can conduct 100,000 Vajrasattva you know, retreat for purification practice. You know, there are many performed that way. So you all can carry on doing that. Then next time, wherever it's convenient, when the time arrives, you can receive the initiation, or you can receive initiation from other lamas, or your lamas, like that. In Western Australia, they're also receiving initiation from Ling Rinpoche. So, you know, because they're group of students, they committed to do the refuge, and after that they can carry on like that. So so you all can keep up with the Mondo practices, even though you are not in the initiation. Okay, thank you.